Hudson Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest radio station ever. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Good afternoon, I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A 16-year-old boy killed in a northeast Wisconsin sawmill was likely doing work allowed by Wisconsin child labor laws. Sheriff's records show Michael Schulz was trying to unjam a wood stacking machine at Florence Hardwoods on June 29th. The investigation says he was alone when he got pinned in some equipment. Security footage shows it took 17 minutes before anyone else noticed him. Schulz died 2 days later. Children as young as 16 in Wisconsin are allowed to work in planing mills. We're getting an idea of how an 800-acre wildfire in central Wisconsin started yesterday. As Melissa Kay reports, it's burned twice as much land as first thought.
The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources now says the fire burned about 830 acres in Washera County near Coloma. That's more than twice as much as earlier estimates. Investigators say the pallet fire was caused by burning debris yesterday afternoon. 20 buildings are destroyed and 8 firefighters were injured getting the fire under control. Fire danger is still high in most of Wisconsin. Wildfires can start and spread quickly because of drought, warm temperatures, and low humidity. It should be less windy today, but fire officials say you should avoid burning anything for the time being. Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
There's a new website to connect small farmers and food pantries in Wisconsin. As Mike Moan reports, it aims to help people on both sides in a time of need.
This month, a new directory went live where local producers can create a profile of their operation, including the types of food they grow. The online tool allows hunger relief organizations and meal programs to search for farmers who are given grants to produce a certain amount of food to be donated. Forrest Humphrey is with the Wisconsin Farmers Union. He says making these connections can open a lot of doors.
Small farmers who may just sell at the farmers market, who haven't had a lot of opportunity to expand to larger markets.
Food shelves can stock up on healthier options as they report high levels of demand, especially after federal pandemic food aid expired earlier this year. I'm Mike Moan.
A new study concludes many health care providers don't have the experience to provide gender-affirming care. Guadalupe Marquez de Velarde says she'd like to see better instruction in medical schools.
Not only do their providers might not know how to treat them, but their providers might be legally prohibited from providing them care.
Marquez Velarde helped lead the study at Utah State University. The University of Wisconsin Parkside is cutting ties with the Northwestern University football team after revelations of hazing. Abuse. The Wildcats had held preseason practices in Kenosha since the 1990s. And that's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell.
For WFHR and WIRI, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know in central Wisconsin. Help stuff the bus by stuffing your belly at Taco John's in Wisconsin Rapids on Wednesday, July 12th. This collaborative community initiative led by United Way makes sure every student has the supplies they need to learn for the upcoming school year. Tomorrow, July 12th, Taco John's will donate a portion of all sales between 4 and 8 p.m. to the United Way's Stuff the Bus initiative. Bark in the Park is tomorrow, July 12th at Witter Field during the second game of their doubleheader against the Green Bay Rockers. There'll be bingo with prizes to win from local businesses. Fun for the whole family with fundraising for Central Wisconsin Gift of Life and the Southwood County Humane Society. Bring a donation for the shelter and receive a free gift. You can bring your furry friend to the ballpark for Bark in the Park. First pitch at 6:35. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI Civic Media News.
The Brewers head into the All-Star break with a series win. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers beat the Reds 1-0. At American Family Field, Christian Yelich hit a double in the bottom of the first. Then with two outs, Brian Anderson with the call on Bally Sports.
Brings up the former Red, Jesse Winker. Winker drives one into center field, a base hit. Here comes Yelich, he will score. And Jesse Winker with an RBI.
That would be it. 1-0, thanks to 6 shutout innings from Brewers pitcher Wade Miley, who disagreed he had good command on his pitches.
If y'all really knew where I was trying to throw it, you wouldn't say it was great command. I was missing with it up and away, but they were swinging at it. So I was trying to go in with all those, and they just happened to swing at them.
Miley spent 2 seasons in Cincinnati. Before coming to the Brewers, Reds manager David Bell spoke to us as the team's equipment truck was being loaded up.
Did a great job for us. I don't know if I've seen him like that. That was really, really good. You know, and I know our hitters aren't thinking that way. We expected to score some runs, but Wade really pitched well. He was throwing hard.
The Reds remain 1 game ahead of Milwaukee in the NL Central and will host the Brewers Friday night after the All-Star break. Closer Devin Williams got the save. Craig Counsell praised the bullpen.
We pitched very well, and the guys that have, you know, 4 guys who have had really good first halves for us and pitched really well for us in the first half, you know, kept them to 0.
Baseball's draft continues today. Last night, the Brewers selected infielder Brock Wilken, a power hitter out of Wake Forest, with the 18th overall pick. With the 33rd, they selected Josh Knoth, right-handed pitcher from Long Island, New York. NBA, the Bucks re-signed veteran forward Jay Crowder over the weekend. In summer league action, the Bucks beat the Suns 84-75. Marjon Beauchamp led Milwaukee with 20 points. Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin.
This game is really about effort and will. I thought in the first half, Phoenix was opposing their will on us, and we were kind of giving in to it. In the second half, we played Bucks basketball.
That's the Bucks' Adrian Griffin. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news, talk, and sports station is Locally Grown Radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. It's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Roll it into the Taco Tuesday Happier Happy Hour. And Tom, don't make me angry.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
When I'm angry.
Yes, yes.
Now, I'm occasionally accused of being an angry man. Do you know this? You've never accused me of this, have you?
You have had on occasion. You can get a little fired up sometimes. But, you know, I think that happens to a lot of people.
But somehow it's seen as a deficiency when I do it.
I've been around you a long time, Curtie. You know, these things really don't bother me a whole lot. But, you know, if someone's new to the game, they might be like, well, why is Curtie acting like that? That's just Curtie.
Well, I'm not the president of the United States. And Joe Biden, first time I've ever seen this accusation made against President Joe Biden. The headline here at Axios: Old Yeller, Biden's private fury.
Old Yeller.
You know how Old Yeller dies, don't you, Don? In public.
Between two ferns? I don't remember.
In public, President Biden likes to whisper to make a point. In private, he's prone to yelling.
Loud noises!
Behind closed doors, Biden has such a quick-trigger temper that some aides try to avoid meeting alone with him. Some take a colleague, almost as a shield against a solo blast. The president admonitions include, God, and then I'm giving a little pause here, damn it! How the F don't you know this? I often think that of you, Dom.
Here's what I think of you, Crudy. Don't effing BS me. Of course, he says it doesn't say BS. That's one. I get that one.
What's another one? Here's my favorite one to you. Get the F out of here. According to current and former Biden aides who have witnessed and been on the receiving end of such outbursts, So these are all anonymous attributions to the president, Joe Biden. Quick temper, profane mouth. My mama might have washed that mouth out with some lava soap.
You know, at some point, you know, you get old enough, you can say and do what you want, man. Why it matters, Axios ponders, the private eruptions paint a more complicated picture of Biden as a manager and president than his carefully cultivated image as a kindly uncle, Uncle Joe, who loves aviator sunglasses and ice cream. Well, can't you love aviator sunglasses and ice cream and still swear at M-Eppers when they're not pulling the weight, man?
If they got a comment.
I like ice cream, too!
Doesn't everybody like ice cream? Maybe not the lactose intolerant.
Some Biden aides think the president would be better off occasionally displaying his temper in public as a way to assuage voter concerns that the 80-year-old president is disengaged and too old for the office. So what, get fired up in public so you can convince people you're still there? I don't know how that works. Hey, we're being critical of your behavior. You should do more of that in public so people vote for you?
I'm not clear that this is... Well, you know, obviously no one wants to be on the receiving end, right?
No,
but is this a critical article or a, did you know Joe gets, pops off and gets profane behind closed doors at his aides?
Who doesn't? I mean, literally, come on. No, everyone was totally copacetic and calm all the time. I don't believe that, especially in a high-stress environment like, you know, presidential... I highly doubt that, like, how the F don't you know this might be more than, like, you know, did you know the Baskin Robbins is closed, or did you know that, you know, Dairy Queen makes blizzards? I'm assuming these are probably a little more, you know, Joe getting mad about, you know, someone spilling the orange juice.
Dominic Biden aides still talk about how angry he got. Just say that word. Omicron variant spread. The rage was temporary, since is now Biden's chief of staff. So, you know, it was a one-off, apparently, Dom. A spokesperson for Sense told Axios, I'm not going to speak to what internal convos may or may not have happened between Jeff and the president. The White House declined to comment. But there's no question that Biden's temper is for realsies. And it may not be as volcanic as Bill Clinton's, but it's definitely there, according to Chris Will. Inside Joe Biden's White House, Whipple's book quotes, former White House press secretary Jen Psaki is saying, I said to Biden multiple times, I know you have a really good, trusting relationship when you yell at me the first time. I love you, Dom! That way you know it. Whipple notes, Psaki wouldn't have to wait long. Is there more? Is there more to flush out here, Don?
Let's see. Biden's temper comes in the form of angry interrogations rather than erratic tantrums. He'll grill aides on topics until it's clear they don't know the answer to a question. In routine, some see as meticulous, others call stump the chump or stump the dummy. Yeah, man, this is the president of the United States. Give the man an answer.
Well, I try not to get angry when you insufficiently answer, though, Dom.
If I don't know the answer, I'll tell you I don't know the answer. I'm not going to BS around with you, Crudy.
Really?
Being yelled at by the president has become an internal initiation ceremony in this White House, aide say. If Biden doesn't yell at you, it could be a sign he doesn't respect you. So you got to have that kind of relationship where you can express yourselves to each other. Now, my question is, you know, does anybody swear back? You know what I'm saying?
Well, that...
Hey, me get out of here. You get the F out of here. You know what I mean? I'm really curious about that because I've had a real hard time. And I'm fine with all those things. I mean, I get it. I can be in that kind of environment. But if you're going to give it, you better take it. I don't care if you're the president. If that's how it is, that's the environment. Then it goes always around. Get the F out of here, Mr. President.
See how that is? I'm seeking utter loyalty.
Yeah.
Utter. utter loyalty, Dom. I mean, you know, the office of the presidency deserves the respect, even if the man is, Johnson used to do? He used to take people in the bathroom and make them talk to him while he was sitting on the commode. Is he, sign of disrespect to the,
whip his junk out as well.
Sorry, Dom, I missed a little of that. One of the things that makes me angry. 7, 8, 9. If there's something that's not in the brief, he's going to find it. It's not to embarrass people. It's because he wants to get to the right decision. Most people who've worked for him like the fact that he challenges them and gets them to a better decision. Dom, do you like being challenged? I like challenging you to get you to better decision-making.
I have no problem with it. Again, as long as it's a give and take kind of relationship. Yes, well, certainly.
Dom, according to the Axios article, some Biden aides argue the president rages reflect his high expectations for his staff. I have a similar high expectation for you. Speaking Biden is a particular skill, they said. It takes years to learn to navigate his moodiness and anticipate what information he's going to ask for in a briefing. Years, Dom. You've known me for years. Can you anticipate my moodiness?
Yep. it's a coin flip every day.
It's coming soon, right? Some administration officials, many of whom went to elite schools, struggle with Biden's demand to ditch wonky acronym-filled language. They hate when they circle around and get back to him on that.
I'm out of pocket. You know, let's drill down on that.
I love all those buzzwords that people so like to fill their conversations with. The acronym-filled language and brief him as if they were talking to a close family member who isn't in the D.C. bubble. Biden's defenders acknowledge he can be tough, but they also say he can be more generous and compassionate than many powerful politicians. Ron DeSantis and feel like family. That's partly why so many aides have worked with Biden for decades. I try to conceal my temper in public, Dom, but occasionally shows flashes of it. And some former aides have written about it. In January of 22, he was caught on a hot mic calling Fox News' Peter Doocy a stupid son of a bitch. Well, everybody knows Peter Doocy is a stupid son of a bitch. I mean, really, that was no embarrassment as far as I was concerned. Jeff,
you know, speaking the truth is you know, it's the truth. So it doesn't matter. It's okay.
Jeff Connington, was chief of staff to Kaufman when he filled Biden's seat in the Senate, wrote about Biden's temper in a 2012 book on Washington. Connington wrote that as a senator, Biden was a that's a harsh assessment. He told of a time when a 2008 presidential campaign when a 23-year-old fundraising staffer got into a car with Biden. Okay, Senator, time to get some fundraising calls, the aide said. Biden responded by looking at him and snapping, get the F out of the car!
I don't want to fundraise today!
Can't you do that, though? Sharper edge to promote his folksy Uncle Joe image, which is why, when flashes of anger break through, it seems so out of public character. We'll have to flash more angry. You'll really get to know.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
Bark in the Park at historic Witterfield, home of the Rafters. Come for bingo, prizes, animal festive dress-up contests, groomer wars, and much more. Bring a donation and receive a free gift for you from Kohler Generators. Bark in the Park, July 12th. See you and your dog at the Rafters game, 6:35 start. Made possible by Current Technologies, Piggly Wiggly, Junkyard Bar and Grill, Simplicity Credit Union, Morrison Tree Service, LLC, and OMG Butchering, LLC.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
Drive safely, Wisconsin. Highway workers are out on the road. Help them out. Slow down, stay focused, and eliminate distractions. Work zone safety. It's everyone's responsibility.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Hi, I'm Mandy Roberts, financial advisor with Thrivent. I'm here to help you assess your finances and find solutions to meet your needs. Let's ensure you have a strategy for success. To get started, call 715-470-1303. That's 715-470-1303.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Slight chance for scattered showers tonight, otherwise cloudy. Lows dip down to about 57. Northerly winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Chance for scattered thunderstorms. Highs level off around 72. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night. Chance for scattered storms. Lows level off around 56. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 77.
News, talk, and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM. The Devil's Advocates. So relevant, they have one foot in tomorrow.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Phone lines are open for your take at 847-967-2789.
Dominic, some may not realize, but Wisconsin's Democratic governor has got a bit of a... And occasionally he gets feisty, salty, profane even. Yes.
Just a tad, yes.
Now, I haven't told this story in some time, Dom, but I feel like today is an appropriate day. First and foremost, we try to make a point of broadcasting the Democratic Party convention each and every summer. We would also do likewise for the Republicans, you know, if they cash our check and let us in the door. But anyways, right. We've been up to a number since Tony Evers. Now, I think it's his fifth convention as either a candidate or the governor. And he often drops a GD in the middle of his Saturday night speech. I've noticed that. We've had to dump the governor a couple of times in real time, live, speechifying on a Saturday night, and you got to dump the governor or the candidate because he's dropped something in there. And I was in the lobby of the La Crosse Center last summer when Governor Evers, and understand the Dobbs ruling, the overturning of Roe v. Wade, came down the Friday night before the Democratic convention. By Saturday, early lunch hour, Tony's on the landing and he's addressing the press and he's addressing the assembly. And Tony said, you know, I got 7 granddaughters. They had more rights when they woke up yesterday than when they went to bed. And I think that's BS. And Tony kind of dropped it. And I think he did so for impact. He knew what he was saying. But one time, you tease me occasionally, I briefly ran for governor and I debated Tony Evers. And the topic was education. And specifically, I criticized the now governor, Tony Evers, because when Scott Walker was the governor and he was the DPI secretary, so many of the policies of Scott Walker were the policies of Tony Evers. You know, like it or not, they were married through the policies because both served in office concurrently. And I pointed out many times, I thought it was going to be awfully hard for Tony to contrast himself. You know, when Tony Evers called Scott Walker's last budget a very child-friendly budget, it's going to be very hard for him to criticize that very same budget as being something less than child-friendly, because Scott Walker has a habit of using your words against you, Tony, right? That's the nice way of putting it. So we were at the Miramar Theater one Saturday afternoon.
And, Milwaukee.
In Milwaukee. And there was a debate, and I was a late entrant into the gubernatorial field. But the good folks...
But an early exit.
Thanks, man. Doesn't help this story, but let me... That doesn't happen until the Monday after this story takes place.
Oh, okay, okay.
So let me talk about my last Saturday as a gubernatorial candidate. So I'm at the Miramar Theater
yeah,
in Milwaukee, and there are three flights of candidates. There were lots of gubernatorial candidates, and like eight of them showed up that day. And the WEAC, the organization that was running, they called it a candidate forum, flighted me with Tony Evers and Kelderoyce, now State Senator Kelderoyce. I didn't choose, but... We couldn't have picked a better spot if you're trying to make an impression. Those were two of the front runners. I wanted to debate against Tony. And I challenged Tony, specifically utilizing an Alan Borsig article in the Journal Sentinel. He's an education writer, and he writes fine articles. And he said that the bad reading outcomes here in the state of Wisconsin were attributable not just to Scott Walker, but also to Tony Evers, because they co-chaired the Read to Lead board. Now, when I started challenging Tony Evers, the education superintendent of the Department of Public Instruction, in front of a theater full of WEAC teachers, Tony got, let's just say, short, a little hot under the collar. He was wearing his I Love Teachers t-shirt, and I was wearing a suit. I thought I looked a little better than Tony that day, but... The other part, the hidden agenda.
You had a suit on. Ooh.
Well, and I had my Badger hat laying on the counter, and Tony walked up before the debate, started ribbing me before the debate started. Why don't you wear the hat, Crudy? I'm like, why don't you wear a tie, Tony? But anyways, what I knew that others in the attendance didn't know, because our radio station was broadcasting that event. And we had this 3 hours planned, an hour for each flight of gubernatorial candidates. Well, his campaign had called the night before and said, throw out the moderator or Tony's not going to show up. And that I knew and had me a little steamed under the collar, because not as candidate Crudy, but as radio station owner Crudy, the guy was the dean of education at Edgewood College that was thrown out as the moderator because Tony Evers felt like he was not supportive enough. And I felt like that was a petty move. So I challenged Tony on the Read to Lead board, citing an Alan Borsig article. He interrupted me about 20 different times. And he and I got back and forth. And it was not a good look for either man. Cooler heads did not prevail. The one that looked really good, Kelderoyce. She looked so smart. So above the fray that day.
Uh-huh.
And we got done and we started walking off stage because we had another flight of candidates starting in 5-6 minutes.
No, we stopped for a little quick social media photo first.
Well, before the social media photo started, somebody grabbed me. And it was candidate Tony Evers. He grabbed my arm. And I looked down, and Tony's not a big man, and I'm kind of a bigger guy, you know, like chubby college linebacker size, and Tony's Tony. So I knew it wasn't really a physical confrontation, but he got in my face and he got real salty. And, Crudy, stop effing lying about me. Stop effing lying. He sweared at me. I mean, it's like the guy started to pick a fight with me. And we're surrounded by teachers, and I'm out of time for this story. So I'll come right back. I'll tell you how it ended. Let's just say I'm not the governor.
This summer, 540 AM WAUK has... This is Matt LePay, and you're listening to your home for your Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you.
Here's what's happening. WFHR Community Calendar is brought to you by Something Sweet, Swiftwater Ice Cream. Enjoy the guilt-free, no-fat, no-sugar scooped ice cream and the 32 flavors of Cedar Crest. And don't forget, they're made-to-order appetizers. It'll leave your taste buds dancing. Family-owned and operated and open daily from noon until 9 p.m. Swiftwater Ice Cream in Nakusa, or find them on Facebook.
The Pittsville Area Community Theater is going big in their return to the stage this summer with the most famous murder mystery of all time, Agatha Christie's Murder on the Orient Express. The show boasts intrigue, deception, romance, and Broadway-caliber comedy to spice up the summer. Performances will be taking place at the Pittsville Auditorium, 5459 Elementary Avenue in Pittsville, on Friday and Saturday, July 14th and 15th at 7:30 p.m., and Sunday, July 16th at 2:30 p.m. Tickets can be purchased in advance online at eventbrite.com for $12 and same day at the door for $15.
And we're live here outside the Perez family home just waiting for the... And there they go! Almost on time this morning. Mom is coming out the front door strong with a double-arm kid carry. Looks like Dad has the bags. Daughter is bringing up the rear. Oh, but the diaper bag wasn't closed. Diapers and toys are everywhere. Ooh, but Mom has just nailed the perfect car seat buckle for the toddler. And now the eldest daughter, who looks to be about 9 or 10, has secured herself in the booster seat. Dad zips the bag closed, and they're off. Ah, but looks like Mom doesn't realize her coffee cup is still on the roof of the car. And there it goes. Oh, that's a shame. That mug was a fam favorite.
Don't sweat the small stuff. Just nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Learn more at nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey everybody, glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
Living happily ever after isn't always a reality. If you're over 50 and are considering divorce, attorney Andrea Gage with the Everson Law Firm can provide the guidance you need. Andrea focuses on silver divorces, the kind that get more complicated over time and present unique challenges. A family, multiple properties, significant assets. Andrea and the team at Everson Law have the experience to protect your interests. Call Everson Law to set up an appointment with Andrea today. It's never too late to be happy. Everson Law, 920-435-3734.
Advocates Radio Show with Dom and Crute.
Weekdays from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
of the time, they're right every time. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, rolling through the Tuesday happy hour. It's telling a story. Got all interrupted by these ads and the news and such. So let me complete the story. So anyways, the story was the day Crudy debated Tony Evers. And I challenged Tony Evers on the reading performance scores of Wisconsin students, and I utilized an Alan Borsig article that apparently Tony had not seen or was unfamiliar with, And Borsig was critical of both Evers and Scott Walker because the scores were still low and the proposed solution was a read to lead board. And we had center Chris Larson, a Milwaukee area center, on our fine show like a week prior and asked Chris. Chris had the read to lead board, never even met. We never even got together. So it wasn't a solution. It was a blue ribbon panel thrown at the wall to see if the problem would go away on its own. And of course, problems don't go away on their own. So it was a apt criticism, I thought. And I thought, considering the audience and, you know, the nature of the candidate forum that we were having, I thought it was my opportunity to challenge Tony Evers on what I thought was not going to be his strength when it was time to debate Scott Walker. Because Scott Walker certainly wasn't going to draw a contrast. Well, Tony, you embraced my budget. You called it kid-friendly. Well, Tony, your bad reading scores are my bad reading scores, right?
We did this together.
We co-chaired the read-to-lead board. So any criticism that he might offer was going to be blunted by the fact that, you know, he had a couple of things where he either agreed with Walker or he chaired with Walker or whatever. Tony got real spirited.
Spirited, yes.
He was very spirited. You were there, Dom. You were in close proximity. And, you know, so Tony starts gunning me on Crudy, quit lying, quit effing lying. The guy's swearing at me.
I mean, there's after the debate, after we took our social media picture, yes.
After our hour of debate, we're standing there, and the audience can probably hear most of what's going on. And so anyways, Tony grabbed me, and then I chastised him for not having the courage to stand up to Dr. Tim Slecker, host of Busted Pencils, Tuesday night, coming up at 7 o'clock. Wonder if Tim remembers this story. But Evers had forced the moderator out for his hour. Slecker moderated the other 2 hours, but not the hour that Tony Evers appeared on, because Tony personally thought he had an axe to grind or whatever. And he was, quote-unquote, the front runner, and he had the power to push out the moderator, and they did. Technically, his campaign chair, now his chief of staff, did. Well, Dom, you know, my wife was completely embarrassed by the fact I had run for governor without her prior consent or thoughtful consideration or a family discussion or any of those sort of things. Some do. And, you know, it'd been nearly a month on the campaign trail. And, you know, I noticed the local media didn't see the value in stories we're trying to make stories, like the fact that campaign coordination was legal in the state of Wisconsin suddenly under the corrupted campaign finance laws of Scott Walker. And if Scott Walker was going to use the corrupted laws, so was I. And I was going to use a third-party group, the People for People People Corporation, to coordinate with the Crute for Wisconsin campaign. And in fact, we sent out a joint press release with the exact same wording from both the campaign and the third-party group, just to demonstrate how clearly these two organizations were going to coordinate, which was now completely legal under Wisconsin campaign finance law. And the local press went, they yawned. Because they still wanted access to Scott Walker. And of course, they weren't going to challenge the man. This was the law of the land. If corruption's the law of the land, then it's good. And if we want to continue to have access to Scott Walker, we're not going to challenge the man on something like the corruptness of the campaign finance laws here in the state of Wisconsin that he, of course, had changed so he could continue to corrupt them. But back to Tony Evers. So Tony and I had a few coarse words, and the man showed he has plenty of fire in his belly. He was mad as hell at me.
Oh, yes, he
and does. I was a little mad back, and it's the fact that Tony is not of the same stature as me that probably permitted him to approach me in a physical way, swear in my face, and not get a knuckle sandwich, if you know what I'm saying. But never came to any of that. And then it was time for the social media picture.
Which I just sent to you.
And, did you? You shared it? We should put it up on social media. Yeah. Because Kelda was beaming. She was radiant up there in the center of the photo. And Crudy and Tony Evers look like we were mugging it up for like the pre-fight. You know what I mean? Like when they line right. The boxers.
You got done weighing in, and now you're in your boxers, nose to nose, chin to chin.
And it was a weird sort of stacked ranked choice voting straw poll they did at the debate there at the Miramar with the teachers in attendance choosing their preferred candidates. And Kel DeRoyce won that day.
Yes,
we did. Made her look so good by comparison. Oh, did she look good compared to me and Tony that day? Because we both came off as relatively petty, although I blame petty Tony. Couldn't have been my fault.
Yeah. A little sour. I mean, the look on you, yours, and Tony's face from that day, I took that shot right after this confrontation, altercation, discussion. And Tony's sour, Crudy's sour. Everybody's sour, but Earl and Kelda smiling ear to ear, baby.
They were very happy. It was a great hour of radio, if nothing else. And so Kelda won the straw poll. Tony took 7th. Crudy took 8th. Paul Soglin, who was not there, took 9th.
All right. You didn't come in last, Crudy.
Well, Soglin didn't show up. He might have been disqualified from the straw poll, but Soglin was the least favored in that he didn't attend. And of the 9, make that 8 candidates in attendance, I finished last, just a skosh behind Tony Evers, who, as the superintendent of the Department of Public Instruction, didn't fare so well in front of that teacher-led audience that day because he didn't look any better than I did. But as Tony was the polling front runner and had the money and all that stuff, by Monday morning, I got out. I just said, I'm done. Won't have this guy to kick around anymore, I think. Thought I was being a little clever in my quote. And Theo Keith, then with Channel 58 in Milwaukee, came down to the Brady Street Studios to interview me bright and early. Why I was there so early, I think I had launched on Earl's show, and I think I pulled the plug on Earl's show. And then Theo Keefe came down to
interview. Yes,
okay. Interview. It felt like an interruption to interview me. And I said, you know, you won't have this guy to kick around anymore. And, you know, I said, basically, I didn't want to be Donald Trump bare knuckling my way through the Democratic field. You know, it becomes starkly apparent to me any of the campaign things I was going to put out there, like campaign corruption and pointing out the broken campaign finance laws, these things I wanted to build a campaign on, weren't gaining any traction with local press. So the only thing that was getting any sort of notice, well, I think it was described as the bizarre interplay between me and Tony on a debate. You know, it was the fact that the now governor of the state of Wisconsin yelling in my face, effing liar, Crudy. You know, that is my claim to fame. I bring
one of the many, Kurt.
I bring one of many. A passion out of this governor that yes. You have ever seen.
And no question about it, Crudy. I didn't know that Governor Evers had that kind of passion. And I got to be honest, Crudy. I think you instill that passion in lots of people that you interact with, and they end up being very passionate after your conversations with them. And I didn't know Tony was so fiery and was so
profane
with the F bombs, man. I mean, I gained a little bit of respect for him. Called
didn't
you,
you
well.
Didn't you? I've told the story a few times. Actually, in grudging admiration when you talk about, you know, old Tony or whatever. No, he's got plenty of fire in his belly. You should know the Tony I know.
It's true. It's true. I thought it was a little strange at the time. Of course, I saw the grab on the arm, and he kind of leaned in and swore at you a little bit, and you got back at him, but you didn't grab him. I noticed that. Then I was like, hey, everyone, let's take a picture. And like a minute later, and then that's what that picture ended up being.
I've got to take a peek.
But to the point, bring this back to
man. Tony's got like his jaw set.
Oh yeah, he's
mad.
He's ready to blow. He is ready to go. Thought you guys would be MMAing up there. But yeah, so I actually came away with, I mean, he does have some fire. He's got some, you know, obviously constitution and strength and more than just beyond the euchre and the folksiness. And I get it. I mean, we want to put our best face forward, right? Certainly, don't we all? But sometimes, you know, we lose our tempers and sometimes we drop the F-bombs and sometimes we mean it. Sometimes it's for effect. Sometimes there's no better word to describe what we're trying to communicate. So, you know, here we are, man. It happens. So what? And Republicans, if you look at the orange guy and let's go back and revisit some of the things he has said throughout his political career and his business career, I'd be hard-pressed to think that those aren't anything any worse than or are any better than what we're hearing being reported about Joe Biden or even with Tony Evers.
What? I didn't know Earl gave Kelda a hug. Earl's giving out hugs. No wonder why Kelda's smiling. Kelda got a hug. Where was my hug? Candidate Crudy got no hug. Yeah. I would have taken a hug from Tony or you or Earl, but I didn't get a hug, man. That's why I was so
That's why you were a little salty.
844.
Yes, no more swearing, Crudy. Very bad. Very
967-2789. Mark from the SAC, welcome back. What do you got for us, Mark?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, well, good for them for being salty when they need to be salty. I mean, that's it's perfectly appropriate because considering the amount of crap that they have to take on a daily basis, they need to blow off a little steam. And so I don't have a big problem with it. And
in Dom's case, that's not steam coming out of the windows, though. Just so we're clear, Mark. That's not steam.
It's like the spicoli, man.
It's just, you know, that I don't have a problem with it. Considering what the last president did, I mean, that, yeah, what he did on leaving office, I mean, that the fact that Joe Biden is salty or Tony Evers is salty, considering what the Republicans did to him before he even got into office. I mean, I'd be salty too. I mean that there's in my lesser moments ago, it'd be nice if he could invite them to a nice little family fray gathering like Arya Stark did when she got rid of the.
are we going full red wedding here, Mark? Holy schmoly!
I mean, rhetorically speaking, of course, Mark.
Here's a guy that occasionally fires me up. CJ, welcome back. How you doing, fella?
Hey, CJ. What do you think about Joe Biden using the MFers, man?
Fiery Joe Biden. Angry Joe.
Well, thanks, Crudy and Dom, for taking my call. But, you know, America's finding out that, you know, Commander Cut and Run, he's in his early stages of Alzheimer's, and a vote for him is going to be a vote for do-nothing VP Harris. So if you look up the symptoms of dementia, and I've seen it in my own family and other friends.
Are you diagnosing? Anger
is it's a big part of it, CJ.
If you believe the book, he's been angry since at least the 08 campaign, since he was egomaniacal senator.
No, we've watched them, and it's pretty sad. So finally the press is realizing it, and your party claims to care about democracy. Well, this grumpy old man denies his seventh grandchild.
CJ, I can't take any more of you today.
Oh,
sorry,
come on, man.
Let you go.
I just got five things to say to you, CJ. Person, woman, man, camera, TV.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
If you came across someone struggling with hunger, how would you recognize them? By their clothes? Their age? The way they speak? Would you notice an 8-year-old girl who's not excited for summer break?
Because she may not be having lunch again until September?
Or
A single father of two who works three part-time jobs and still can't put enough food on the table. Or maybe a mother who cleans offices at night,
hoping to find meeting leftovers to take home to her hungry family.
Or a war veteran who's having a hard time
landing a job and getting back on his feet.
I am the one in eight Americans who struggle with hunger. People you pass by every day but never knew were hungry. I am hunger in America.
Hunger can be hard to recognize. Learn why at IamHungerInAmerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America, 200 Food Banks Strong, and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Slight chance for scattered rain showers tonight, otherwise cloudy. Lows around 57, north winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Cloudy skies tomorrow, chance for scattered storms, daytime highs approaching 72. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night, chance for scattered thunderstorms, lows around 56. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 78.
You are listening to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR. Brought to you by Wisconsin River Orthopedics, Gamber Johnson, Mid-State Technical College, Skyward, Aspirus Health, Solaris, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Delta Dental of Wisconsin, SNS Distributing, El Cafe, Edward Jones Sky Manning, Comfort Air Heating Cooling Fireplaces, Crescenda Next Home Partners, and Dixon Gun Shop. Stream every game all season long at WFHR.com or through the Civic Media app.
From Madison, Wisconsin, in a beautiful Warner Park, the Wisconsin Rapids Rafters will take on the Madison Mallards as the Rafters looking to sweep the series in a game which they won yesterday 10-5. And fortunate for them, they were out hit 10-8, but for them, they were able to get in runs and get them in abundance. Wisconsin Rapids right now and sits 3-4. They've won their past two games here in the second half, so looking to take down Madison once again here at Warner Park. They swept them back on June the 30th and July the 1st, both games here at the Duck Pond. So Wisconsin Rapids today, they're going to go with guys like Kalen Graham, who will be getting the start on the mound. Nick West for Madison. So that's the pitching duel, both right-handers. The Rafters are a team that's batting .243 as a team, 347 hits and 200 runs scored. They've had 182 RBIs in total, but they've been struck out 358 times, which is third in the league. But defensively, they have been unbelievable. They're third in fielding percentage, second in innings pitched, and they're tied for third for saves in the league. They also have the first in ERA with a 3.30. So they're second in the least amount of errors and third in double plays. So they have a lot of guys that are able to make big plays on the defensive side of the ball. Kalen Graham, a right-handed pitcher for Wisconsin Rapids, he's a guy that is looking to continue his excellent play. He's had a 1-1 record. He's had 24 innings of work. He's allowed 17 hits and 10 runs. He's had a 2.25 ERA with 23 strikeouts. So the Tampa, Florida native from North Central Texas College will be getting the start. As for Wisconsin Rapids in their rest of the defensive side, Hogan Holigso getting the start at the catcher's position. So the Creighton Blue Jay once more making that catcher behind the plate. So Garrett Broussard will be at first. Chris Conniff at second. Jorge Degatti at third. Luke Hansen at shortstop. Anthony Gallison at left field. Nolan Sailors at center. And Brendan Bobo at right. So an interesting outfield lineup. We haven't really seen Sailors in that center field position that much this season. We've seen Gallison slotted in at left for the most part, and Bobo, he's been at first, third, and right field. So no surprise to see him in the nine position. Nolan Sailors, that's going to be the interesting thing, because when Sailors is playing right field, Bobo usually plays third or first. So it's going to be interesting to see how that combination works out. Madison, for example, they're going with Nick West on the mound, Jaden Lobliner at catcher, Jake Goolsbee at first, Noah Sudica at second, Ryan Sprock, who DH'd yesterday, he's at third, Cal Fisher, a prolific shortstop, he's in the sixth position, Jake Holcroft at left, and the trustworthy center fielder Isaiah Jackson at center, and at right field, Jackson Tucker, the St. John's native. Wisconsin Rapids, right now, you look at it, they weren't able to make the playoffs. They fell to Fond du Lac 6-2, and the morale was a bit down after that, dropping five of their past six, and then they needed ways to get back to playing their brand of baseball, and that's when the pitching staff is on top of it, and the hitting is a big part. Well, they've certainly done that in the past two games. They took down Traverse City, and they took down Madison yesterday. They've scored 26 runs and 26 hits in the past two games. They've outscored their opponents by 16. So they've had really a lot of success hitting the ball and just getting on base. And what the big thing is for them, getting guys home. And when you look at it yesterday, 8 hits and 10 runs scored, that's been a big thing for them. Finding ways in the right moments to get the big hits, and they certainly had guys that stepped up yesterday. Anthony Gallison, he was big yesterday, and you guys had like Garrett Broussard played well in the field. Brendan Bobo, a 3-run shot yesterday, he was superb, to say the least. So Wisconsin Rapids, for them, the Raptors are just going to have to continue to play well and continue to be dominant on the offensive side of the ball. When their offense is clicking defensively, they just pick up the slack. But when their offense is struggling, the defense for them, unfortunately, just can't hold on for as much of time. Given a Madison team who's been playing very well, they're 4-2 right now, first in the Great Lakes West Division in the second half. They're 19-20 overall. They swept the Raptors back on July the 4th and the 5th. Wisconsin Rapids is looking to do the same and return the favor. They've outscored their opponents in the second half, 54-28. That's just been absurd. Before yesterday, they were outscoring their opponents 49-18. So now it's 54-28, but they had guys yesterday. Wisconsin Rapids did. The Raptors found ways to get a bunch of guys involved. David Rivera had a big day. He went 2-for-4, hit a 3-run shot into left field. Brendan Bobo started it off with a 3-run home run of his own in the bottom of the third. But Anthony Gallison had a big day. He went 2-for-4. Jorge Degatti went 2-for-3 with 3 runs and an RBI. So many guys got involved for the Raptors. So for them, it's just about continuing to play on the way of the offensive side, getting many hits, finding ways to get on base, whether it becomes a walk, hit by pitch, reading the right pitches. So that's going to be the big key today. They've already had success here at Warner Park, you know, sweeping them back on the 30th of June and July the 1st. They won the first game 10-3. It was a dominant display, which Brendan Bobo did hit a 2-run home run in the first game. So looking to do that once again today. Brendan Bobo yesterday hit his first home run at Witter Field. All five of them prior to that came on the road, including one here. So he hit a 6 home run. He leads the team in home runs and also leads the team in RBIs with 26. A guy that did not make the trip, who is a vital piece to the offensive success for the Raptors, Jack Gurevich. He's currently sick. He's not feeling well right now, so did not travel with the team. So we hope he's better for tomorrow, because it's going to be an early one for the Raptors tomorrow. They have Green Bay at 11:35, and then they have a doubleheader, and they'll play them once again at 6:35. But they're looking to take care of business against Madison. Kirk Schreiner, the head coach in his third season. Donnie Scott in his 11th season for the Mallards. Currently exchanging lineups. And for the umpire crew today, Philip Jean-Louis behind home plate. Caleb Cador at first and Brandon Smith at third. So Warner Park, known for getting the most amount of fans in the Northwoods League. On average, they average around 6,200 fans, and they have, well, certainly around there today. People are trickling in on a beautiful, sunny afternoon here in Madison. Wisconsin Rapids hits the capital once again. So we'll take a quick break here on WFHR. We'll step away. First pitch coming up in about 8 minutes.
Childhood should be the happiest time of life. But for many children living in poverty with blindness, facial deformities, and other crippling conditions, it's riddled with pain, rejection, shame, and isolation. At Mercy Ships, we're answering the cries of some of the world's most forgotten children and adults through free, life-changing surgeries, surgeries that turn despair into hope. These once heartbroken boys and girls, and many men and women too, are now restored, accepted, and on their way to a life of opportunity and joy. No one can change the world on their own, but together we can transform it by restoring hope to one person, one child at a time. Volunteers from your community and around the globe are bringing life-changing healing and hope to the forgotten poor. To learn how you too can help change the world, one child at a time, go to mercyships.org today.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
You're listening to Wisconsin Rapids Raptors Baseball on WFHR.